Have you had a good day? Well, let's see. What time is it so I don't go over time? 7:50. And I'm supposed to be done at 8:10. Someone told me. So we better get started. Let's bow our heads, pray together. Father in heaven, we're thankful today that we can again finish the day thinking of your word, memorizing your word. And I ask your spirit to be here with us. We thank you. We come in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so first time we talked about what? Does anyone remember?
Hair.
Yeah.
People's individuality
in Christ, right? There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and each star varieth in its glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, and you are to declare the glory of God too in your various ways, your little lights, this little light of mine. Daniel 12:3 says what? What does it say in Daniel 12:3? That the righteous will shine as stars, right? And the brightness of the firmament, and they'll draw many to the Lord, so or many to righteousness. So we're supposed to be like the very things that we see. That doesn't mean we worship the sun and the moon and the stars, but we're to be that way, right? If we look at ourselves too long and we're not in Christ, what happens to us? We get discouraged, or we get prideful, and pride goes before a fall. If we look at others, what happens? We can get prideful and say, oh, Lord, I thank the Lord that I'm not like that man. And then we fall flat, and the Lord teaches us another lesson. So we can become proud, and pride goeth before a fall. Or we can be really discouraged. We can say, well, look, I'll never match up, and this and that. So if we don't look at others and we don't look at ourselves, who should we look to?
Christ.
That's what we first talked about. Then last night, does anyone remember what we talked about last night? Yes. The drawing power of God, right. And what was the point we made last night? Anyone remember? Yes. Michael. Okay, that God is always drawing us. Okay, that wasn't the major point, but that's definitely part of the major point. Yes.
God can draw us through anything.
Okay. God can draw us through the heavens. He can draw us through his law. He can draw us through others, we talked about. Yes. Go ahead. Okay, that was it. God draws us to him. He's drawing each of us, but how or will we respond? Did you think about that at all? Since the last time I told you. Now, what is God? God is light, right? He's love, too. That's nice, but that's not John 8:12. He's also light. God is light. Now, how bright do you suppose he is? And did he ever come down as a light among his people? Did he? Several times, right? But remember on Mount Sinai, he would come down in the midst of fire and smoke. And fire would come down. And when Elijah would pray, come down as fire out of heaven. And when you went into the sanctuary, the closer you got to God, the brighter it was. Brighter and brighter and brighter. And how many people decided to go into the most holy place? How many were allowed? Just one. But what was God's desire? You know, in our deep Bible study we've been studying, and notice we had a text this morning. Does anyone remember what Paul's desire was for those in Thessalonica? How many remember this? What did he want at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? Does anyone remember? Yes.
To see them in heaven.
To see them in heaven, but more specifically what? In the presence of the Lord. So in other words, he's saying, when I get to heaven, I don't want to meet you in the outer court. I don't want to meet you in the holy place. I want to meet you in the very presence of the Lord. This is the brightest place of the entire universe, in the very presence of the Lord. Now, how many of you are ready for that? Last night we said, look, He's drawing you. He wants to draw you. But if you were to go in the very presence of the Lord today, what would happen to you? Would you live? Or would you die? How many of you would like to live? How in the world are we going to be in the presence of the Lord? That's the picture. We can say, well, I'm drawn to him. I'm drawn. But how close? He wants us to be in his very presence. How many of you can see we might have a problem here? Last night we said, yes, he's drawing us and we want to be there. And we heard stories about people who were willing to go through persecution to be following Jesus. How many think they probably were a little bit more ready even than some of us when you think about it? They just like Paul this morning says, suffering kind of helps you understand where you really are. So, all right, that's some of the theology tonight. And let me tell you just another little story, because if I get started too much on theology, we'll go on. But you know, it's interesting, very interesting. In Exodus 19, there was a fence put around Mount Sinai so that people would not go too close because they might be, or they would be, destroyed. But when you get to Deuteronomy 5, what does Deuteronomy mean, by the way? The second giving of the law, Deuteronomos. When you get there, guess what happens? In retelling that story, Moses says, you were there, but you did not go up the mountain, as if they did something wrong. And then he describes, he says, look, instead you said, you go up for me. You go up for me. And did Moses go up the mountain? Was Moses human? Did he go almost into the very presence of God? In fact, into the presence of God. Did he do it? And when he came back down, what did he look like? A shining light. He was in the midst of the presence of God, and he came back down as a shining light. And you know what he said? Deuteronomy 5, he says, oh, that you would have such a heart that you would go into the presence of the Lord. In other words, folks, the reason the fence was there in Exodus 19 was not because God didn't want them to come close to them, close to him. He wanted them to come close to him, but they weren't ready. So it was an act of love on God's part to put a fence. How many can say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I mean, because you understood what I said. So he put that fence there because they were not ready to go up. All have sinned and fallen short of the
glory.
You better be thankful for it. Because if you went into the glory of God with sin, what would happen? You'd be consumed. But does God want to leave it that way? Doesn't want to leave it that way. So, here's the thing. You guys, last night, you said, I'm drawn by God and somebody. How many of you said that last night? I can sense that he's drawing me. But now, tonight, you're telling me he may not be drawing me into his very presence yet because I'm not really sure about that. I could be fried. How many of you are with me on this? I mean, I don't think we should be presumptuous, should we? We shouldn't be presumptuous. Well, I'll just go in. Remember what happened to some folks that just decided to go in? But how many think God does want us to go in? Is it true what Paul said? I want to meet you in the very presence of God. How many think it's true what Moses said? I went up. I was in the presence of God. How many think it's true what Moses said in Deuteronomy? He wants you to go into the very presence. How many think that's true? So how do we get from last night to the presence of God tonight? He's drawing us. Now, this is something I think that's interesting, you see. And I think it's something we don't often talk about. But as young disciples, how many think we should really just be honest with you? How many think we should be honest? Not as many as I thought. Yeah. Well, let me tell you a little story because, man, 10 minutes? All right, we might have to do this and continue it in deep Bible study. I can find a way to do that. I'm creative. Let me tell you, when I was working one day, I worked as a trauma nurse, right? And I was in charge of the, I was not in charge of, but I worked on the burn team. So I dealt with people that had gotten close to things that were bright, hot, and light. And it, let me assure you that that can be very, very initially painful. And I remember one day we got a call on the HERN, the Hospital Emergency Radio Network, that said that there was someone coming in from the nuclear plant and that we needed to be ready because they had, one of them had totally been incinerated, so he wasn't coming in, burned up, only small remnants left, and the other three had terrible burns over their entire bodies, nothing less than 70%. And you got to understand, when you have 70, 80%, 90% burns, at least back then, that was pretty much like saying, you're dead. You become a big blister. Everything goes out into the burn areas. All the water leaves your blood. All the blood and the parts of the that make up the blood, the water, goes out just like when you would get a blister. Goes from inside those vessels to make a blister of protection. Your body thinks, okay, we'll just put water on that fire out there. But the problem is, when that happens, your heart just stops and all your organs just shut down. So you have to immediately put some tubes into people. You got to do things that look cruel. You got to take Eugene, not a tiny little needle, but a big needle, and you put it in there. You put it in this place and that place, and you put as many in as you can, and you dump all kinds of fluid in. But you count all the bags. One bag, two bag, three bag of Ringer's lactate. You count this one and that one and that one and that. Why do you count them all? Because ultimately, if the person gets better, guess what happens? What happened to your blister after it gets better? It starts to go down, right? And pretty soon look like, well, I didn't pop the blister and all that fluid went back in the body. Same thing happens with your body if you get burns. And so you put all of that fluid in, but guess what? Pretty soon all the fluid from outside will come back in. And if you don't get that fluid out, guess what will happen? They'll pop. And so you put the fluid in and then you have to take it out. So we were putting it in 12 bags, 13 bags, you know, and we had all these people coming in. And we had three of them. I knew they were almost surely going to die. So what did I talk to them about? I talked to them about the fact, I said, look, have you accepted the Lord into your life? Have you made everything right between you and God? Do you believe in God? They all did. And have you made everything right between you and others? Have you done that? And they said, no, I didn't. One said, I haven't done that. And I said, who is it? And they told me, and I said, they're outside. You want to talk to them? And they came in. They talked to them. And they made everything right between them and God and others because they thought that was the end of their life. And the next thing they would see would be Jesus. Now, let me ask a question. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Have you ever done that? Have you ever seriously said, look, I know the next person I'm probably going to see is Jesus, and I want to make everything right? How many think that's a good question to ask, see? So they did that. I mean, I remember sitting there. We were trying to get them to breathe. They almost couldn't breathe, so we had to take out knives, and we had to cut down the sides outside of their chest so they could still breathe because the fluid was all there, and they couldn't even breathe. And I thought we'd never see them again. And it wasn't until 6 or 8 months later that one of them came back to the emergency room. They had lived, three of them actually. I think all of them lived except the one that had been totally incinerated. And they came back, and guess what? They told me, at least one of them did, everything that I said. They remembered everything. And they said, you know what? It was the worst thing that happened to me to be burned that day. But it actually was the best thing that happened to me because everything was made right between me and God. And made right between me and others. How many think that would be a great thing to happen here at Young Disciple Camp? How many of you don't want to be thrown in the fire to have that happen, but you maybe want to say, look, I want to put myself in the place of those people I heard in the story, and I want it by God's grace. Ask the Lord to take everything out of my life because he's drawing me, and I want to get as close as possible. How many of you want to say that today? Okay. By the way, do you know why they got in trouble when they went into the nuclear plant?
Wasn't a very big thing.
It wasn't a very big thing, really. They had walked into the nuclear plant that day, all four of them, and only one of them had a small piece of metal in their back pocket. And the huge arc from the electricity that had been consolidated in that nuclear plant that made electric power for that whole section of the it sensed that there was metal there, and a huge arc had come off that transformer and had obliterated the one with just a little bit of metal and burned all the other ones, and they almost died. Let me ask you a question. Is sin like that? Will just a little bit cause a big problem, not just to you, but to others? So, how many of you want to be serious about Young Disciples Camp? All right. Is D.K. Kemp serious? How many of you have lactic acid buildup in your arms to prove it? Right? But how many of you think that the devotional speaker should also be serious? And I'm going to tell you, seriously, if we can grasp the thing I've said tonight, if we can say, look, has everything been made right between me and the Lord and others? And seriously ask that question, how many think God will help us with that? You see, the key question of conversion in the New Testament, this is the key question of conversion, in the New Testament. And this is it. It's found in Luke chapter 3, and it's found like four times in Luke chapter 3, and it's found in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 3, there's all these people coming out. They're drawn by the preaching and the devotional messages of John the Baptist. They're drawn. And they say, look, we want to be baptized. We want to get close to Jesus. And guess what? In that baptismal class, guess what he says? Well, the first group comes out to be baptized. This is in Luke chapter 3. After he preaches a wonderful sermon that every mountain will be made low and every valley would be exalted, so there'd be like a highway where we could go just close right up to the master, the King of Kings. And they loved it. They all came forward, baptize me. And guess what he said to the first group? He said, you little snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, how many of you think that's just a nice thing to say at the baptismal class? You little snakes. How many would appreciate that if your teachers here, Young Disciples, said that to you? But was that a kind and loving thing to say? Let me ask you a question. What's more dangerous, a little snake or a big snake? Actually, a little snake. If you have a little rattlesnake that bites you. By the way, we were just driving up here the other day, and the lady, we stopped at her house to talk to her. Guess what? She had visited someone in their yard, and a little snake came up and bit that lady. She thought nothing of it. She says, oh, it's just a little snake. And the lady was going, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Oh, and she thought, oh, man, she is like freaking out. I mean, you know, it's really okay. But she said, I'm going to drive you to the hospital. She said, really, you don't have to do that for me. Took her to the hospital. And then over the next several hours, her leg swelled up. 3 times its size, and then she began to get foggy thoughts, and then she began to feel like she was going to pass out, and then she couldn't even talk, and it was all just a little snake. Wow. You see, the devil just sends little snakes into our lives. Oh, nice little tiny snake. But that's a big problem. So here's the thing. I want to leave this with you because we got to quit, unfortunately, because we're just getting started. So maybe we'll have to continue this, like I said, in deep Bible study. But here's the idea. In Luke 4, the people came out and they seriously asked. They said, what stands in the way? What must I do? And guess what? When they asked that question, John the Baptist was used by God to help them. To one group, he said, look, if you have two tunics, if you have too many clothes, give some of them away. He talked to some people about their clothes. Amen. Second group, he says to them, look, if you have too much food, give to people that don't have food. He talked about their food. Amen. How many of you want to allow the Lord to talk to you about whatever you wear and whatever you eat And then another group came out and he said they were the tax collectors. And what did he say to them? He said to them, look, don't take any more that's granted to you. Be happy with what you get. So he talked about their money. And then he talked also about their what? He told the soldiers, he said, look, don't misuse your authority. So, should we allow Jesus, if we're serious, if he's drawing us, how many believe that he's drawing you? And if he's drawing, he wants to draw you as close as possible. How many of you want to say, I don't want anything between my soul and the Savior? I don't want anything between myself and others. Because I sense he's drawing me, and where he's drawing me is in the center of the fire. He's taking me to the most holy place. He's taking me into the midst of the Shekinah glory. And I want to say to him, just like those people in Luke 3 said, whatever it takes, whatever you want to do about my dress, whatever you want to do about my diet, whatever you want to do about my money, whatever you want to do about my attitude, do it. Now, let me give you four quick questions you want to write down that can help you get to this. And then we'll close. And we'll close. It is 8:12, so we'll go to 8:15. I'm going to go with this man's recommendation, 8:15, instead of 8:10. Sorry, Tanner. So, sir, and here are the four questions. Number one. Look, when we're praying to God, the Bible says we're going to see this in Thessalonians when we study it. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So we're supposed to be living in thanksgiving. What are we thankful for? How many of you are thankful that you're alive? How many of you are thankful the person next to you is alive? You better say yes or we got some issues. Okay, so in all things give thanks. That's number one. Ask the Lord. Say, what am I thankful for? In other words, the thing that should motivate us is the power and the glory of God. Amen? So that first part of Psalm 19 motivates us, but the second part does too. Oh, you're a lie. You're telling us what to do to not just understand your power in nature, but also your redemption. Thank you, Lord. Amen? So your power that's in nature can come into my life. So I'm thankful for that. And that motive power of thanksgiving leads to the next question, which is, write it down. What's coming between me and you, Lord? What's coming between me and you, Lord? Is there anything? You're drawing me, but is there anything that's coming between you and me? How many think that's a good question? Search me, O God, try my heart to see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. By the way, the path of the just shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. In other words, when we ask that, he helps us begin to grow brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and he's the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine, and then glorify your Father in heaven. How many of you want to shine like the stars? But you really can't without the impurities being taken out, right? Right? You'd be like a dull flashlight. But he wants to put fresh batteries in you. Amen? So number one, what am I thankful for? Number two, what's coming between me and God? Third thing, what's coming between me and others? Now look, some of you here at this camp, I'm going to talk about this tomorrow night. Some of you here at this tell are drawn by God. And you're feeling that you're coming. Look, but there's other people in your life that maybe are just causing you to have all kinds of problems. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. But tonight, we're not going to talk about it. We're just going to say, ask that question. What's coming between me and others? And then finally, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 had this to say after he saw the light. Jesus revealed himself to him as a light. He had some real issues, real problems. Like I said this morning, he was killing Christians in the morning or before breakfast, so to speak. And he really was fighting against Jesus. Didn't really know it, but he still was. And once he saw the light, and he saw what was happening, guess what he said? Lord, what do you want me to do? That's question number four. What do you want me to do? So, what was question number one? What am I thankful for? What's question number two? What's coming between me and God? What's question number three? What, if anything, is coming between me and others. And Lord, what do you want me to do right now? Now, let me just say something. You really can't do too much except rely upon the Lord for almost all these things. Let me ask you the question again. Is he drawing you? Is he drawing you? Is he drawing you? But if you went into the presence of the Lord today, would you be ready? Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. You're unsure? Ask these questions I've given you. How many of you want to be ready to meet the Lord? Amen? I got to tell you, those people that came back, remember I told you the people that were there? When they came back, I told you, they told that they shared what happened with me. It was the most touching thing because they remembered everything that had been said. And even though, you know, when you had burns, this man had to go through multiple operations and skin grafts and everything else, and he didn't look so good. But you know what he said to me? He said, you know, I don't look too good. And he didn't have to tell me that. But he said, you know what? I never felt better. I never felt better in my life. And things have never looked better for me because Jesus has changed my life. There's nothing between me and Jesus, and there's nothing between me and my family and others. How many want to have that experience without having to go through that experience? Amen? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for drawing us. Thank you for reminding us not to put our eyes on others or on ourselves, but on you. And as we do that, we're drawn to you. Well, thank you tonight for sophisticating our reasoning a bit. To stand back and say, look, Lord, I don't want to be a little snake. I want to give you free rein and whatever is in my life, whatever I eat, whatever I drink, whatever I do, I want it all to be to the glory of God. In other words, something that can take me into the very presence where your glory is. And so we thank you. Thank you for this man and these people that came to know you through a horrific experience. And help us to come to know you fully and to be ready to meet you. We want to be able to go up the mountain, not stay on the bottom. We want to be like those people in Revelation 14 that are not at the base of the mountain. They're at the top of the mountain, and they're rejoicing, and they're singing in the presence of God. Let it be so, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. In Christ's name.